Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 99th episode of Analyze Your Trade for October 22nd, 2019. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, a bunch of people submitted up to 5 symbols each that they wanted us to talk about today. And I put the list together. You should have received that in an email if you were subscribed to my newsletter. But we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. We are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time, the recording will be posted on timingresearch.com as soon as the show is over, and also the podcast version on all the different podcast directories. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe if you want to get that. Today I have arranged for Mike Bassani and Brian Klindworth and Jim Kenny to join us, and Jim will be moderating, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay, thanks everybody being here today, and it's a turnaround Tuesday a little bit at the end of the day, plus there's been some volatility here in the last week or so. We're going to discuss the wide broad market a little later in the broadcast, get the opinions of the speakers here today. But first, we're going to hit the list that we have been given. To start out, I always like to have everybody introduce themselves. So we're going to start out with Mike Bassani from Smart Options. And Mike's going to reintroduce himself and tell a little bit about Smart Options.
David, thanks for having me on. Nice to be here with you, Jim. So for me, I've been trading since the financial crash. I've been traded full-time now for 5 years. I trade day trade in the markets all day long. And for me, I focus on technicals and options flow, right? So I use the options flow and technical setups to help me get in and out of trades. And what I do is I look for setups that look good or news and events, and then watch the flow that comes in around it. So when you see a spike in a name, you look to see if they keep coming after it with either puts or calls. That's usually to me an indication that money's playing there. And that's pretty much exactly what I'm looking for, is to find places where money can be made, put money in my pocket and get in and out, whether it's a day trade or a swing trade, and just constantly putting money in my pocket. And you want to learn more about me, please stop by smartoptiontrading.com. Thanks for having me on. I'll turn it over to Brian.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I am Brian Klindworth. I work with Alpha Shark Trading at alphashark.com. And I have been actively trading for about a year and a half. I trade a cash basis option account, small account. And that's my first focus in my strategies and my approach as a trader, is management of a small account and growth as a newer trader compared to somebody like, you know, Mike, who has a ton of experience. Also use unusual option activity as well. But I do have kind of a little bit more in-depth technical focus. I help design Alpha Shark's technical analysis products as well as writing the code for that. Majority of our products are for Thinkorswim, TradeStation, or Ninja. And been doing the code thing for a little bit longer than the actual trading thing. But I really enjoy the ability to do both. And I also moderate our live options, unusual option, and live trading room in the early afternoons as part of our moderator team there.
Yeah, that's a lot you bring to the table. And Brian, at the end of the broadcast, both you and Michael have an opportunity to not only re-explain this, but also to make some offers that people could take advantage of. What we're going to do right now, though, is we're going to jump right into Cypress Semiconductors. Obviously, that's a sector that had a big run-up. It's still hanging around the highs. And this one seems to have been kind of flatlining hit lately. Do we have anything on Cypress Semiconductor, starting with Mike?
Yeah, they've been bought out. There's nothing to do here.
Right, that's what I thought.
They've been bought out. They're just waiting for the deal to close. So,
right. What's the price on the deal?
I think it's 24.
So there's not much action here.
I mean, it could go up another 50 cents when the deal closes, right? And you know how that works. Pre-market, right. They bump it right to there. But to me, there's no trade here. The trade's over.
Yeah, and I guess they were wondering if the deal's going to go through. Do we have any information along those lines?
It looks good. It's just waiting final approvals.
You don't have much to add to that, Brian, do you? Because obviously it's a bought out deal, and it is what it is.
Yeah, last quote on it was there's really nothing to do here.
No, I guess somebody owned it, and maybe they wanted to hear if the deal was going to go through or not. All right, this next one, we got all kinds of stuff going on, because it has definitely fallen off a cliff here with some secret tapes that came to light or something. Gosh. And so anyway, let's talk about Boeing. Lots of volume, lots of action. What do you think, Mike?
First of all, we have earnings tomorrow morning before the open. So anything we say here, you know, you have to realize that this thing could change in a real big hurry tomorrow morning, right? Before any of us can react. The big problem with this one is still the max, right? And you have this big gap all the way up here at 297 that hasn't been touched. And that shows you how weak a name is when it can't even bounce to the gap. And this one hasn't been able to get to it. And, you know, it's been struggling at this 390 area. And then, you know, news came out on Friday that they may have withheld information from the FAA, from some of the pilots on the plane. That was the largest down candle I think we've seen in the last couple of years in this name, they said, on huge volume. And then, you know, it's just, it's an ugly, ugly name. That said, they're maintaining the dividend. They've gotten rid of their buybacks. And if they guide, and they have not guided now in three quarters, if they issue good guidance now, it could try to run. I'd watch the 320. It has to hold there to stay in the game. If not, this thing could come all the way back and revisit the 287 lows that we saw back in December of last year.
Yeah, the good news on this stock is that it's in a two-horse race. The bad news of the stock is that it's got a lot of bad news right now. But what do you see, Brian? Is there anything here? Would you play it for a snapback? It hit a low, I guess, this week in the low 320s, and it did go up and fill this little gap that it had a little bit up towards 341 today. But do we see this as a worthwhile catch a falling knife?
From a small account perspective, because that's where I always start, absolutely not. Again, earnings tomorrow morning, or earnings tomorrow, and they did, it just a headline a little bit ago, they did replace two executives, the head of aircraft development, as well as the head of Boeing World Services, that may speak to maybe they might issue guidance. Maybe, I'm not sure. With just too many unknowns on this. And it is so much headline risk. Just to, you know, it's a decent, it's moving around enough for potential scalps, intraday quick trades. The last time I traded this, I was in it for 4 minutes. And I did scalp part of that large down candle. But it's like a 4 minute trade name. It is absolutely nothing I would consider for a swing trade at this point in time. They were hopeful for guidance, or they were hopeful for the MAX to get off the ground and certified fourth quarter. Southwest has come out and publicly said they don't anticipate being able to use the planes until February, so we don't even have a time frame to work with on this.
Yeah, the other thing is if you're dealing with a small account, obviously a $300-some-odd stock is a hard one to trade if you're going to do the stock, so you're almost forced to do the options at that point, right?
Right, and then because of the leverage of options, any additional headlines, these text messages came out of literally nowhere, right?
Yep.
Holding those kinds of options with the leverage that they entail is entirely too much risk from the headline perspective.
Something else to add here, their conference call tomorrow is during market hours. So they report in the morning. They are a big mover during that call. So don't feel like you have to rush to get in on the open. Wait for the call.
And I haven't looked at the options, but are the implied volatility really high or double? So, you know, to put on any kind of a strangle or straddle would probably be cost prohibitive. Huh?
Yeah. We got, by the way, earnings are out. CMG's out. They popped and are pulling back. They beat. Texas Instruments guided down big time, and Snap is out, and they are currently down on a very tiny beat. I haven't seen guidance.
All right, the next one here is a China deal, and everybody tells me how China's economy is doing so poorly, but they did announce a 6% GDP, which is not that far off what it's been. So, and of course, 6% GDP doesn't sound so terrible. Baidu's been hit, though. It's gone from 206, and now it's at 103. Do you see anything here, Mike, or what do you think?
This name has been nothing but a downtrend for the last couple of years, Jim. This earnings period down here, they guided down big time back in the May timeframe. They, you know, they really haven't done anything yet to get me interested in this name. If I want to play a China name, Jim, the names that have my attention are names like Baba and JD and Momo. They just seem to be stronger and better off and holding in better. You know, this stock was what, almost $400 at one point, if I remember right, or 300. Mm-hmm. It was a big stock. I mean, they just don't want it. This seems to be one of the worst of the names out there right now. And you know, if earnings are good, maybe it can wake up. I mean, can it even get up to 122 would be the first area. But to me, there's just nothing going on here. This is just kind of a dead space. I prefer other names in the China space right now, at least until something changes.
A little bit more towards consumer over there, like Baba or the game guy, Tencent and things like that.
Yeah, or JD, which is also with the consumer, right?
Right.
You know, if you want to play the streaming market, you can try IQ. But again, there's my understanding is they've reached a saturation point in China. So I don't know where they go from there. So again, I'd rather stay consumer focused. I think that's where the money is to be made right now in China. And a guy like Baidu, just I think you can see it. The market doesn't want anything to do with them down here.
Yeah. Are you seeing anything on a short term basis, Brian, that could be worth a shot? It seems to be holding this 100 number. If you wanted to take a shot down here, huh?
We've got a big symmetrical triangle essentially forming consolidation pattern over the period, over a very, very long period of time. And I'm with Mike on this. Generally, broadly speaking in China right now, because of the headline risk, Most Chinese names I just don't even consider, even if we see unusual options on them, just because, again, anything can happen with a tweet. And so the names you want to be with if you do want China is going to be bigger stuff, just like Mike said, Baba, JD. And one thing that people have been doing is with the larger ETFs like Asher, the Nigerian brothers that do the halftime show seem to be a big fan of that one. Other ideas, EEM, if you want to be in the space, but you know, tamp down some of your headline risk. I think there's just way better alternatives there.
Yeah, it seems like it's in a little bit of a range. Getting above 115 would turn the tide a little bit, but right now you're kind of hoping against hope. Huh? Okay, well, let's go to the next guy here, which is Marvel, M-L-R-V-O.
So Marvel is in that semi space, right? And obviously we just got a big hit to the semis. Texas Instruments came out. They were not good. They guided down. So, you know, this space has been going sideways. To me, the best names in this space right now, it's been AMD and Micron, and NVIDIA's been trying to wake up. But from a chart perspective, when I look at this name, as long as it continues to hold kind of this lower area here where it's been playing around in, around 23, it stays in the game, right? You got your 200-day just a little bit below that, Jim. I know you like when
they... Yeah, I like the moving averages, yeah.
Yep, it's right down there. But to me, the name is just stuck going sideways. And, you know, to me, this is dead money just sitting here right now until something wakes it up. Maybe it's earnings as they come up, right? But this is not a name I want to be sitting, especially with options, because options are a decaying asset. So, you know, for the last month and a half, it's been in a downtrend heading down. Now, you could say it's trying to make a series of higher lows here, but nothing really special action. There's been no really interesting flow into it in the options market. I like AMD and Micron and NVIDIA better here, but we have Texas Instruments out today. We got Lam Research tomorrow. We have Intel and we have Xlink. Those names should give us a good idea what's going on in the semiconductor space over the next couple of days.
Yeah, the volume seems to be drying up a little bit. The 200-day moving average on volumes over 10 million shares a day, and we're now trading in the 7 million sector. So I don't know if that means things are drying up, or like you were saying, they're waiting for the earnings to come out, and then you're going to see a spike one way or the other on the volume.
That's the case.
Are you seeing any potential head and shoulder there at all? Or,
you know, it kind of looks like it a little bit, but it's a sloppy one, right? Because if it was, the right shoulder negated the left shoulder, right? Because it came above it.
Right.
So for me, you know, you can call that, but to me, when you negate the shoulder, is it really a head and shoulders pattern anymore?
Yeah.
But if it is, it's right around this 23 area. I mean, that's your neck.
Yeah, this 200-day average and the lows coincide around 22.5. So if this thing printed under 22, that might be the line in the sand you wouldn't want to stand for.
Yep.
Yeah. You see anything on a shorter term basis here, Brian, that might be interesting on this thing?
So for shorter terms, the couple of things that I look at is ATR versus underlying price. And that for like a scalp approach or a scalp strategy, I have a watch list called My Fast Movers that have higher ATRs relative to their price of their underlying. This thing right now, the ATR is really compressing. Just over the last, over the last 2 weeks, the 5-day moving average for the ATR on this has moved from 0.82 to 0.52. So we've lost 30 cents off of that faster moving ATR average, granted. So if I'm looking for a day trader scalp, I needed to have enough room relative, you know, volatility in order to get a move as quick as possible. And so this one's kind of prohibitive in that area. There are other names in the space that will move quicker on your options and are more conducive to scalps, such as NVIDIA. NVIDIA has a much better ATR. And so again, it's kind of NVIDIA's ATR is $6.50, and even that's down a little bit off of 7.5 just a couple of days ago. So again, I try to always remember there's a next best alternative. We have 10,000 symbols to work with in Thinkorswim. You know, your platform may be different. So I always try to remember that there's always another option. And I think that given, you know, kind of the basis that Mike laid out, as well as my strategy and approach, Marvel is not a good fit for shorter term day trades and scalps.
And one of the things you do for the traders is you screen out a lot of this stuff and try to bring something to the forefront that looks interesting.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we do in the live room, on both a technical analysis perspective and also using live option flow.
When is earnings on this thing? Because the options seem to be pretty cheap here. You can go well into November and they're in the pennies, pretty darn close to the money.
It's out there a little bit yet, I think, Jim. I don't think it's soon. They're usually one of the later ones.
November 14th is when they report.
Be- uh, November 14th?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, because they've got options right around the money that are in the pennies, which if there was going to be big volatility, they look kind of cheap to me. But that's a big if, and we'll have
to see. I'm seeing December, Brian. Estimated December.
Okay.
Okay, so then you'd have to buy more time, but it probably, you know, they still look pretty cheap. Anyway,
the next one. We have a request, Jim, of NSC from the chat. Do you want to do that or do you want to hold off?
NFC?
NS, as in Sam.
I don't see NSC on the list. Do you?
No, it's a request from the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so yeah, let's jump in. NSC, what's going on there?
So, you know, it's a rail, right? And the rails are always great to me, looking at the very typical, the health of what's going on in the market, right? We like when the rails are strong, when transports are strong, usually the markets are strong going with it. Mm-hmm. And this one has had a nice little bounce here off this lows. It came in, it broke this area of support, went down to the 157 area and popped up. Earnings are coming up. Earnings are tomorrow, okay? So it's bouncing into earnings. We've had a couple of the other rails out. KSU's been out. They were pretty good on earnings. And this is a nice move into this earnings again, being tomorrow. If the earnings are good, I suspect this one's going to try to run back up. If I remember right, this is the one that really was bad last time. The call was botched by the CEO on the call. And the other, and you know, I remember I was doing live on TD Ameritrade on their network. And, you know, we all said, if the other rails don't confirm this, they're going to get killed and they'll be good. And, they came out and said, the other rail, big rail, said that wasn't true for them. So this is an internal problem with them. So we'll see if they've gotten this fixed. So the first area would be up here to 192, and then after 192, look for it to fill this gap to 195, and then it has even further to try to get going here.
Yeah, this neighborhood here, though, definitely could be a resistance zone, because all those lows that used to be, this is the number that they're running into, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, my favorite in this sector is Union Pacific. That seems to have some great legs lately. UNP?
Yep, UNP has been good, right? And yeah. Again, I've been like, yeah, look at that move, right? UNP, beautiful move here, almost back up to that 172.
If I had to do one or the other, I'd probably go UNP, but, you know.
Yeah. Look at KSU. In Kansas City Southern, right? Look at that chart. I mean, that thing's just a thing of beauty.
Brian, you seeing anything on the short term here that looks good in these rails? Because it definitely looks like the train, hey, a little joke, the train's leaving the station, it looks like.
What I was taking a look, a real quick look at the basic materials ETF XLB, because rail is somewhat correlated with that as well. Basic mats, of course, there's a lot of what they move around. Mm-hmm. And, XLB is not showing quite as strong as the rails are themselves. But that being said, XLB has moved up in the last, 2.5 weeks and seems to be wanting to hold those gains. One thing that I really liked about NSC is that volume increase coming in, that's pretty consistent with the earnings lead up. So if we do get a positive report, there should be enough horsepower to move it. And just like Mike said, the first step is that gap. We still need to fill that gap all the way back off of last earnings. And then if there's momentum there, you know how these things can just continue to go. From a swing trade perspective, the nice thing here too is you're not going to have overly volatile movement outside of like an earnings report, right? The ATR on this is relatively narrow. So from a swing trade perspective, you're not going to have massive volatility. It does seem like we are rotating away from tech overall. Semiconductors are kind of showing that with this miss here. And it's going somewhere. Some of it is going to cash, but some of it is going into different sectors. And that may give an opportunity here because some of that activity does seem to be more into the basic materials.
Okay. And again, so yeah, they've had a pretty good day today. The moving averages on a lot of these rails are still inverted to the downside. So I don't know if that means that this is a short-lived rally or not, but you can't fight the tape, and the tape lately is definitely going to the upside. All right. So what's SPGI?
So S&P Global Services, right? So sometimes you look at these stocks, you say, okay, what do you think of them here? This stock is not heavily traded. So for me, this is an investment. It is not a day trade, right? Mm-hmm. Barely hits 1 million shares a day. And it doesn't do it often. For me, you know, I like at least 1 million shares a day volume if I'm going to be day trading something. That provides me with liquidity to get in and out of a name. So that said here, you know, you have a very pretty well-defined downtrend. You came in, you put up a high end of just south of 270. And when the markets bounce, this one looks like it's been leading us down. It hasn't bounced as strong as the markets. It hasn't gotten back close to that all-time high I put in just back in September when the markets made a new all-time high. So it's diverging from the markets. It's weak here. It has earnings next week on the 29th, I think. So for me, it has to get back over this 257.60 area, clear that area to get back into a long trend and then see, can it hold the 100-day here or maybe it comes down and tests this 232.50 area. It's still a little bit...
Is this thing weighted to Europe, weighted to emerging markets, Latin America, or is it just all over the place?
Let's see. What's their holdings on this thing?
It's not something I'm familiar with, but it sounds, with the word global, sounds like it's obviously an international fund or international.
Top institution holders, top MMO. What is it? I'm not sure what it is. I don't think it holds anything. It's an actual company.
Oh, I thought
it's an actual company. It's a company, SMG Global. They do provide ratings, benchmarks, analytics, and data to capital and commodity markets worldwide.
Yeah, for today, for some reason, it definitely looked like they were trying to hit the exits. There's the way it was trading here today.
Yeah.
But again, the big line in the sand's around that 240 mark. And then if that goes, then it goes probably. Huh?
Again, I just don't see a lot of conviction here for me. Mm-hmm. I think there's better. I think there's better charts to play, and we're going to get into some of them as we go forward.
Like Brian's saying, we got 11,000 choices. This doesn't have to be one of them, right?
Right.
All right, Brian, what do you got here? You got this thing potentially on a rollover basis, or is this going to surprise everybody and spike up? Because the moving averages are inverted to the upside still, 248 and 223. So from that standpoint, it's still technically with the moving averages looking okay.
There is a potential issue on the horizon with rating agencies that gives me pause. There's a little bit of divergence between how some corporate debt is rated and versus where it based on models should be rated. And so we know that the rating agencies in the past were a big focal point of the financial crisis. And this corporate debt potential issue just gives me pause on anything having to do with any ratings agencies, even though this is probably the least exposed among the three, the others being Moody's and S&P Moody's. And the third one is escaping me. I was in the room all day. So this sector is a no touch for the moment. 11,000 other options there. Like Mike said, we're not back up to that uptrend until 267 area, 268 area. And so I'm not confident enough to call this a short here either. Yeah. So it's just a look for other opportunities.
It's got big market cap, almost 62 billion. So it's certainly not a small one. Anyway, there's two big ones coming up right now that I think everyone's got their eye on because they're kind of bellwethers, and they are bellwethers. The first one is in the banking sector, and it's going to be JP Morgan, which obviously had been breaking out to the upside up towards 125. Do we see a further continuation, Mike, or is this sell the breakout?
Jim, I think short term, you wait for a pullback to get into this name if you're not in it already. And what I mean by that is I love that. First of all, you can ask my subscribers. I've been beating the drum on the banks since last week in earnest. They just were really good, and there's rotation here. Market right now is in the middle of rotation. If you're not seeing it, you're not talking to the right people or paying attention. We're rotating out of tech. We're rotating in banks. We're rotating into value plays. We're moving out of tech for right now, and the banks are the big winner, but they don't like to be out of the Bollinger Bands, and they definitely don't like to be extended off the 8 EMA and the 21 EMA, which JP Morgan now is at a new all-time high, by the way, the leader. I think in my world, the banks aren't done. They're going to go higher this year, but I would look for a dip to the 8-day or a reconnect before I got into this year. RSI is going hot. You know, these can have a hard time staying up here. A little dip in the banks, I think, would be a great thing. I like JP Morgan. I like Bank of America. I like Citigroup and the dark horse as well as Fargo Chase, who has been languishing forever. And that wakes up, look out, because that one could actually just go and scream and burn a bunch of shorts in it. So again, maybe a dip down to the 124 area, the 122 area, 121.50 would be a great place to try JP Morgan. I like the banks. I still think they're going higher after all this, but not the time to chase it here.
Yeah, you got gaps from that 110 level. It looks like there's a little bit of one around 115, another one around 118, and another one around 121.
Yeah.
You think it might get into the 121, but the other ones are off the table right now?
I think the market wants to go an all-time high, Jim, and I think the banks are going to lead it. I think they're going to be strong, at least for now, for this part.
And that would be significant weakness to come back to 115 and then
exactly.
Go back up. Yeah.
That would be the markets getting hammered because this is...
Then all bets are off for the upside.
Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, Brian, we got these banks on their bicycle here a little bit. And what are you seeing in the sector as well as particularly on JP?
Banks here, I think Mike pretty well covered it all. You can just use his chart that he has up to show that they really do not like being off that EMA. That's a real, really, really, you know, good observation. And we're extended. Yeah, I think we are going to get that pullback that he's recommending. I know fear of missing out is a challenge, whether you're doing, you know, no matter what style of trading you do. But I think that having some faith and some patience that it will catch a little bit of a pullback to give a better entry. And then we can also see if that 120 area is going to act as support, right? So we can see if the 8 EMA, which is now right at that 120 area, as well as you can get confirmation there that that old resistance has now become support. And if we got confirmation of that, you can enter the position with more confidence.
Yeah, and after it's made new highs in the past, it has had pullbacks. I can see there a couple of times it made new highs and then it had a pullback. So it wouldn't be unheard of to have a $5 pullback or so, because last time it went up to 119, pulled back to 112. That's a $7 pullback or so. So it's not unheard of that we could get one, but it's not going to happen unless we probably turn the tide on the whole thing. Let's turn to the other big guy here, and then we're going to take a break. It's Apple, and obviously it broke above that 240 number. What do we think here, Mike? Is it going to keep going, or would you fade Apple on this breakout?
So, I mean, what a move on this thing, right? New all-time highs. Where the market in tech has been weak, this name is holding. And even today, when tech was getting destroyed, right? pick a name in the tech area that was getting absolutely obliterated today. This thing put a new all-time high, and it didn't reverse until the Brexit news started hitting the tape late this afternoon as we came into the 230, 240, you know, 245 hour. So you got a little bit of a topping candle today, right? And what we call that is you got a reversal. Right? Traded above the previous day's high, reverse, close underneath it. So, you know, for me, I think it's likely this name sees a little bit of a rest here after this move. It's going into earnings next week. Everybody's going to be watching that closely. I still think right now, if you see the gold line, the 8-day, it, you know, it hasn't even touched it in weeks. I mean, since this gap up, we haven't even touched it. I think dips to it ahead of earnings are buyable, but I would probably wait to earnings to take a long-term position at this point, unless you really just feel strongly about it. Look at the 200-day rocketing up now, right? And the 200-day is really starting to curl up. And that's one of the things I've been talking to my subs about in my charts is, you know, this market to me feels like it's trying to reach escape velocity. It's trying to put aside all this last December, November, December damage and trying to get them everything turning up. And you can see all those moving averages turning up nicely. Just getting a little bit heated up here. Maybe needs a little bit of a pullback, but I think this name's going higher. Plus, $75 billion buyback in the name. That doesn't hurt.
Of course, we did see it up there pretty good in May. And all the averages were turning up there. So you just never know for sure. But it definitely, obviously the momentum is to the upside. But some people were thinking it was going to break through this 240 and then it was going to have some kind of a pullback. And it'll be interesting to see if that's accurate or not. What do you see, Brian, here? Because your RSI is way up there too, isn't it?
Yeah. Your RSI is sitting over 70. The way that Mike has his configured, you know, that's
the calls must be pretty fat.
IV on it is decent, especially considering we're ahead of our earnings. IV on it is 29. Now, granted, November 1st, that is post-earnings, I think, isn't it?
Earnings are next week.
Yep. 36. Yep. Yeah. So of the tech names, Apple generally has a lower IV compared to these, you know, names like Roku, for example. The IV is not overly bad on this. I think Friday, the way that Apple behaved tells the story. On Friday, anything that had anything to do with tech was just vertical to the downside, except Apple. Apple had a very relatively, you know, quiet day of trading. It traded up for the first half of the day, retested the opening candle, and then just kept this almost, like a more secular trend upwards. So compared to other alternatives in the in tech space in general, Apple appears to be having, you know, has a strength that we're not seeing in other alternatives. So that's attractive. That being said, we do have earnings coming in, which, you know, if we're going to take a longer term position, which I think this might be a decent name for. We may not want to have that risk of there being something we don't anticipate. But there's also so many positive things going on just on their news. They seem to be responding to the consumer in both the newer iPhone 11 and then also the development. One of their big barriers has been affordable phones, and they're developing an affordable iPhone for emerging markets. And so there's a lot going on with this name that is positive.
No, there's no question about that. The only thing that is disconcerting a little bit is obviously the real estate between the price and that 200-day average seems a little bit on this. But, you know, these stocks like JP Morgan, Mike, and Apple, aren't they really also going to be difficult to roll over too far unless the S&P rolls over because they're such a big component of all these index funds?
Yeah, Jim, that's exactly right. Right? They have a huge weighting in these indexes. Apple's in all of them. There's a lot of
top 10 holdings on all this stuff. Top 10 holdings. You see Apple, JP Morgan, and every one of them. So if you can't get the indexes to roll over, it's probably hard to get these things to roll over.
And again, my thesis is the indexes are going to go higher here.
Yeah,
for what it's worth.
Well, Well, I mean, like I say, we are now going to take a break. It's halftime. So rather than having cheerleaders come on the field, you guys are going to come on the field and explain all the great things you're looking at and where you think the money might be had looking forward. So right now, I'm going to start out with Mike. Mike, give us some of your calls. Give us some of the idea on a general basis that you'd like to do and give us some insight.
Sure. So for me, one thing I've been watching here is for, you know, a long time now, the SPY, the 200-day, this green line has just been flat. And as the market kept trying to get up, it couldn't quite go, right? And I think, Jim, you made the point, and I learned that lesson a while ago, is that it never likes, these things don't like to get too far from the 200-day. And if you look what's starting to happen here in September, the 200-day is suddenly starting to ratchet up and starting to accelerate to the upside. And what's happening is all this horrible action that we had at the end of last year, right? The November-December sell-off is finally getting left behind. And the 200 average is losing that, and it's able to start moving up. And I think the market's trying to reach escape velocity if earnings hold up. And that's the big if. Earnings so far have been pretty good. Tonight, we got a couple of names that have rattled things a bit, but earnings have been really good. And I do think this market is going to go take out this all-time high here in not too long. We got rattled by Brexit today, but you can see all the moving averages are curling up. The market is trying to move higher. You have a series pretty much of lower highs. You have this nice little uptrend is establishing. So I think this is going to go up. And as we talked about, I really think the banks are going to lead us. And one of the reasons is if you look at the, where's my save chart on the XLF, it makes it easier for you guys to see this. And this is where I always get mixed up because, you know, I can't spell. As my subs will always tell you, I spell everything wrong nonstop. There we go. Oops. You can see this blue line, which comes back from a couple years ago. This 2850 area on the XLF has been just death. Every time it comes up into it, it's failed. And here we are testing again, little extended into it. I'd like to see, is it just either flags here, lets thing catch up, or moves down a bit, and then it takes it out. And I think the banks are prone to lead us. And if not the banks, then I think it's the IWM, which has been lagging like the banks for a long time. Market never stays with something forever that likes to rotate. And if you haven't figured it out, all these cloud names, these software names, these IPOs are getting killed because they're rotating out of this, which has been leading us, and they're rotating us now into value plays and safety plays. And that's what you have to change. When the market changes, you got to change with it. Simple.
Gotcha. Anything else you're seeing as far as any particular stock you're kind of following?
You know, for me right now, I have an interest in the banks. Twitter to me is always interesting because it has earnings on Thursday morning, and it tends to do this. It tends to sell off into earnings, and then it gets the big move, and then it doesn't go anywhere. I like this name long-term. I still think this one's going higher. If this holds up, I think this one will go out and take out this high of 45 that it put in last time on good earnings here. But honestly, right now, outside the banks, I'd like to see energy get back involved in this market. You know, talk today that the OPEC is considering cutting more, sent energy and oil spiking. We'll see if that's real or not. But there's just no real catalyst there. So for me, I'm kind of focused on just finding trades, making money in this market now, not having tremendous risk on and seeing where we go from here.
Yeah, with this S&P thing, I've been kind of looking at the VIX and its inability to stay under 14 for any length of time.
But it can't hold 16 either.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. But yeah. I mean, I was just wondering out loud, if the 3,000 area 3025 is kind of like the 1 yard line, would it be easier, would it be an easier game if we waited for it to get into the end zone? Meaning if it broke 325, wouldn't the real estate above 325 be a lot easier to get to if you had a combination of 3025 broken and a VIX under 14?
Yeah, I think you can see that. I think that there's just, you know, right now that the volume the last 2 days is about as low as we've seen it in a long time.
I got you.
For this time of year. So I think if this market's going to break out, it's going to need volume or need to gap above it, right?
Yeah.
Then I think you get that chase, right? Everybody sitting on the sideline going, oh crap. And then we're off to the races and then we see.
Yeah, because there is supposedly a big liquidation of retail investors in the last 90 days of a historic nature, and that would indicate that there is a lot of sideline money. Whether that wants to come in and buy new highs or not is unknown, but it certainly is a contrary opinion type thing. Brian, what do you got cooking as far as things you're looking at on either a short-term or whatever basis, and any particular sector or any kind of group of stocks you're looking at?
The way that I like to manage risk in this environment, the headline environment, is really more a function of time. How long do I have a portion of my account exposed to risk, whether it be a Brexit headline or a trade dispute headline, or, you know, it's quite a few times if you've been doing this over the last year where things have been behaving one way and then all it takes is one ticker on the Chevron on CNBC and it's an entirely different trading day. And so I look for stuff that I can get in and out of very, very quickly. just kind of a quick list of names that I've been kind of leaning on more and more as since I'm flexible to go calls or puts, and I actually do tend to do a little better on the put side, are names like Tesla, Nvidia, Netflix, Roku, Square, and Boeing. Those are the kind of the names that I find myself when there's a lull in the day going over to those names to look and see what's going on. And the big part of that is that they do move when they get moving. They move enough that with a Delta 50 to a Delta 80 option, you can be in and out on a weekly relatively inexpensive option with very, very good gains very, very quickly. And so that's kind of my strategy. And so that's not, that's kind of more stuff that people are rotating away from right now. And so I have been doing more puts on those names, but they are moving enough. So I look for how much something is going to move relative to the cost of getting in it so I can get out very, very quickly.
Yeah. You want to basically get something that's going to give you volatility. The options are not too unfairly priced. And the overnight risk is not something you're interested in, because with a smaller account, overnight risk can chew up a lot of capital.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm with you all the way. I hear it.
Yep. If I'm holding overnight, it's always less than 10% of my account value.
Yeah. And again, because a drawdown of significance puts you out of the ballgame.
Exactly.
If you're working with a smaller budget.
Yep. But it is manageable. It is very manageable.
Well, I mean, certainly, like I say, it's a way of approaching it where you're trying to manage the bankroll so that obviously not one trade causes you to shut down. And it also puts you in a position to win because you have some volatile situations here. And mostly limited risk type stuff, I would assume, right?
Right. They're directional plays, but very, very tight stop losses and targets.
Yeah.
Generally around 15%.
Nothing naked or something like that.
No, directional cash.
Yeah,
account.
I'm with you. Okay, let's turn back here, you guys, and let's pick up the pace. We are on NJR, and NJR right now is New Jersey Resources. No better guy to talk to than Mike. And maybe Mike can enhance an old New Jersey person here on what the heck these people do.
Let's go to the videotape.
I know PEG, public service, but I don't know these guys.
What do these guys do? That's a great question.
They're a utility. Yeah. But they're only
they're a small utility in southern New Jersey.
Exactly.
Is really what they are.
Were they down the shore or something?
Yeah,
or
down by Long Branch, Neptune, down in that area, covering the southern part of the state. Listen, this chart tells you everything, Jim. I mean, this chart is a disaster.
Especially since the sector has been going nuts, right?
Yeah, the sector's been strong. This thing's been weak. I mean, it has a lot of support, I guess, down here around this 4275 area where it's tailed off of about four times in the last year. It's extended off the 200-day to the downside. I don't know if that really matters that much here. Whatever this news was here, that was a couple ugly candles that we saw here. Those couple candles that took this thing down. When are earnings on this thing? Earnings are coming in mid-November, just before Thanksgiving, a couple days before Thanksgiving. If you want to play this, I think I would just look to either play the utilities themselves, the XLU. Look at this chart on the XLU. I mean, that's not a name you want to be in unless you like dumpster diving. I'm not a dumpster diver. It's got to give me a reason to want to get back into that. And honestly, I just don't see it here.
And if you're looking for that area of the country, PEG and ED are generally the two you play, right?
Yep. And if you really want to go dumpster diver, try PCG out in California. That's a true dumpster.
Yeah. No, but, why go to the Jersey Shore when you could go with Con Ed and you can go with Public Service New York, New Jersey?
Exactly.
All right. Well, anyway, what do you know about these people there, Brian?
Pretty much I just learned a lot. Mike covered it. It's, it has kind of a nice downtrend even prior to those disaster candles starting in June. But then we're bogged down into this whatever it is support that it has. So that sort of precludes the idea of shorting it. And so again, from either perspective, like there's better alternatives. I mean, you can just look. You should be able to immediately look at this compared to the XLU that Mike brought up. And you should be able to immediately see the difference.
All right, let's get out of the Volkswagen here and jump into the Ferrari. And that would mean the volatility on this next one's probably going to be a lot bigger than a utility. This is going to be NVIDIA. So what do we hear?
So, this name has been tough for a while. And then one of the things you have to look at sometimes is just where does this thing come from? And this thing has been beaten up after it almost hit 300, right? So NVIDIA, I thought it was going to hit 300. It did not hit 300. I was off on it by about... about $5. Never quite got there. I'll take that hit. But it came up all the way into the 295 area. And you look at this on a monthly chart, all it's doing is it's given back part of this big move from the 20s, right? This thing was trading around 20, went up to almost 300, and digesting on the 200-day off of the weekly moving average. You can see this weekly chart I just put up for you. And it's kind of sitting here. So you bring this back to today, and you know they've had some problems with their new chipset. They've, you know, it's kind of been a little bit of a miss. It's a new technology. We've talked about this ad nauseum, but they are trying to wake up. And if you look at this, you have a series of higher lows, and it's trying to wake up, and it's finally trying to take out this 190 area of this last week. And if it can do that, and you have earnings next week, this thing could possibly take off. So you have AMD, you have NVIDIA. I keep an eye on this one. It's been sleeping for a long time now. It's trying to wake up. It's going to need to guide well. It's going to need to beat and guide well. And if it does that, this thing could be back off to the races. If it misses another day up to the 200 days, definitely in the loop here down to 155.
Are you showing it down $4 in the aftermarket today?
Yeah, that's because of Texas Instruments. Every semi right now is getting absolutely killed on Texas Instruments report.
Yeah.
Because they guided down.
When you look at this stock, would you say that it was trading up towards 300 and it came down and has been trading between 150 and 200? And if it breaks above 200, there goes this whole consolidation might be, you know, a base to run on. But if it gets under 150, it could be that this particular company is losing its luster.
I think to the upside, you're right. I don't think it's losing its luster. It's just, it's got more competition from AMD than it's had in the last three or four generation of their graphics cards.
I got
And they haven't hit on all cylinders where they used to be. And the other thing that's, you know, nobody wants to talk about it, but nobody's mining Bitcoin anymore.
No, that's, I think that's a big thing because they were really on the run during that. The other thing is the volume on this thing. Average volume on 200 days was 12 million shares a day. And now we're trading 8 million shares. So it seems like the volume is drying up a little bit. What do you think, Brian, here on NVIDIA? Is there a deal that on the downside that is a train you can jump on here? Or what do you think?
I this one is on my watch list for an intraday perspective. I already kind of mentioned that high ATR is attractive on it. And it's one of those that once, you know, at least my tool set works pretty well with. What it seems like NVIDIA is trying to do, I believe, is in response to the issues that Mike brought up. Better competition from AMD. AMD, you know, there were some deficiencies or some weaknesses when you compare an AMD video card to an NVIDIA video card, namely around power consumption and heat generation, as well as the size of the chips, size of the chipsets, I should say. And AMD has kind of closed that gap a little bit. My most recent rig that I built, which was just recently, had a pair of AMDs in it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to shift the narrative now to their AI, products. And I don't know how that's going to play out. And so as a consequence, I'm pretty excited for their earnings report and their guidance, because I think that they're going to try to make that a focus. And we're trying to get away from the hardware because nobody's mining Bitcoin anymore. There's only 3 million left to be mined. I believe 19 million, the 18 millionth one was mined and it's capped at 21 million. So I'm curious to see how they're going to respond to that. So from a longer term perspective, this earnings report, I think, can reset that. And so at least compared to like a pure chip company, they are a little diversified, right? They have their software products as well. So intraday, it's a great one. My tools work wonderful with, and I would wait until this earnings report before looking for a longer term position in it.
You know, the earnings are supposed to be off for the Q3 by about 3% or so, and then they're supposed to pick up in Q4. I think maybe people have bid up these things saying, oh, I realize earnings aren't going to be good, but they're going to get better. But when you actually hear they're no good, maybe that's a little bit more of a reality check for some of the people. Would this area be considered a crowded trade, semis and NVIDIA? And because it's crowded, if anybody lights a match, it can blow up a little bit?
The volumes in general have declined across the broader market. And we mentioned rotation into cash. And we did set some, I believe, some all-time records for over the last quarter for rotation into cash, which you're seeing for demand for the dollar. So I wouldn't say it's as crowded as it was in the past, particularly around that 245 area when it was pushing 300. Then it was really, really crowded. I wouldn't necessarily, relatively speaking, call it a crowded space. It's just, it's very, very sensitive. Like Mike said, TXN reports and all of a sudden NVIDIA is getting hit with it. That's just semis. You know, semis are so correlated. So you are taking on outstanding market risk with this name compared to, or sector risk compared to some other alternatives.
Yeah, similar to Apple, both of these guys are trading about 20% above its 200-day moving average. So they are a bit extended because they're very large companies. And when you get 20 or 30% on a big company, like for instance, Amazon, when was that, 2015? 50. Moving averages were down at 1550. And so obviously, you know, that was a pretty pretty reasonable probability that could roll over about 6 months ago or whatever it was. Anyway, let's move to Roku, because Roku went in the tank all the way down to 100 about, and then had a great bounce here. And now it has stalled out a little bit. But is this bounce going to continue? What do you think, Mike?
I love this name. I'll be the first to tell you, I love this name. I told everybody this name was going to 100 in November last year. I got laughed at. I told everybody in January this name had changed character. And this name has raised guidance and beat now 3+ times this year as we come into another big earnings report. That said, I thought it gotten a little bit of ahead of itself at $175 a share, to say the least. So what do I love about this stream? They're in position to win the streaming wars. They don't care. They're Switzerland, right? Mm-hmm. They don't care if you're Disney Plus, Netflix, Amazon, where you're coming from. You're getting their advertising. If you sign up for one of those services on them, they get paid in perpetuity, a piece of that revenue. So I love this name long term. Right now, it's caught up in this tech sell-off that's part of the high flyers. You're seeing a lot of volatility in it. This thing moves $6-$10 a day without a thought. For $110 stock, it moves almost 10% of its price. I think it's time just to chill out on this thing. If it was to pull back and to hold roughly 124, 125 here, I think it'd be good. But it can't hold the 50-day, and that's always a concern to me. Right now, the last 6 or 7 sessions, you can see it just keeps dancing back across the 50-day. I'd like to see it hold above there for me to want to get interested in holding this for a longer-term swing. I know we're running out of time, so I'm going to be quick.
Sure. Okay, what do you see there on Roku there, Brian?
This thing has been fantastic on an intraday basis. I had multiple trades on it that went really well on Friday. I kind of agree with Mike. We need to let this settle to the downside. I think that there's more trading opportunity on puts right now than there are on calls, on fast, quick trades. I love its ATR relative to its cost. It has a $9.40 ATR, 5-day moving average ATR on a 129 underlying. So using short, quick option strategies, this is a fantastic name for that. On a broader sense, we have to let this thing settle down, just like Mike said.
All right, best of breed in the energy market. Pretty much Chevron would be in that conversation, CVX. And, you know, big pop today coming off a 110, dead cat bounce here, or are we going to start seeing some better prices out of Chevron?
I don't know, Jim. Honest answer, crude has been stuck. If crude bounced today on rumor or talk that OPEC may cut supply more, mm-hmm. if crude doesn't bounce, then the energy names don't bounce. We've already had Halliburton and Schlumberger report. Neither one of them were special. Honestly, until I see more out of this sector, to me, it's scary. Notice it went right to the 200-day today and yanked off of that and closed back below the 50. I need to see.
The big story also here is Aramco. They're now trying to get this thing done. They're going around talking to people about this public offering. There's not a big appetite for it.
Yep.
You know, is there going to be some kind of behind-the-back pass that makes energy go on a run and then they can sell this IPO? That's a possibility.
And I
might not fight that tape. You know what I mean?
Listen, I would love to see energy names get back in play because when they're great names, they can move. You can look at the range on this thing. You know, this thing could easily bounce to 125 back to the top of this range where it's been stuck. But I need a little bit more confirmation than this one day little pop.
Oh, yeah. No, it's early. But on a broad-based basis, that Aramco deal of $2 trillion possibly coming to market and them trying to get it to market sooner rather than later, you know, might coincide because they don't want to hear things slow down next year, oil goes to 40 or something, and then try to come out with this $2 trillion deal. It'll be, I don't want it. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
So it's a big story there. Anyway, what do you got over there, Brian, on Chevron?
Better alternatives, better sectors right now.
Yeah.
This bound range is pretty easy to see on your daily. That being said, from looking at the hourly, what I've noticed is that we're pushing back down to the most recent swing high, which was last week, last Monday. So we're testing that. So this is maybe a case where it could start to sort of ladder out of this area, where this 117 on a shorter time frame, this 117 and change that it's pushing back down to, that it tried to, you know, that's where the wick came from on the hourly. We may have some of that going on, and it did fill a gap and continue to go. So that's the positives that I see there, is that it may be building that kind of ladder to get out of here. But what's going to happen at 125? And so 117 to 125, if it stalls again at the top of the range, I don't know that there's necessarily enough meat on the bone to justify that capital exposure.
Well, we got a couple of minutes, so I'm just going to pick the last one, and I'm going to pick one that I know Mike likes to talk about. So we're going to pick AMD and let Mike give us the insight on what he has figured out on his opinion of AMD.
All right. So first off, This is Texas Instruments. This is live. Okay, this is a 5-minute chart. You can see they're getting punished here right now, right? On bad earnings, the report starting, they issued really bad guidance. AMD and all the other semis are getting hit with. So this is nothing news on AMD. I don't want anybody going running out there thinking there's bad news on AMD, because there's not. Bottom line is, this is still one of my favorite semis. This week, last week and a half, it woke back up. You know, nice pop yesterday. You got a little bit of a nasty candle into it today, but it's extended here again above everything. And for me, this one's trying to get out. It has to get above this 3220 area where it did yesterday. It fell back below it to get out. It gets above here and it gets a close over it, right? You can see it has room easily up to the range high, which is 3573. It does have earnings next week. Right now, a little extended. Look how far down the 21 day is, all the way down here at 30. The 8 day is all the way down here at 3086. So it can just reconnect with these and still be a good name to trade in moving forward. It is going to be affected by everything else out there. The other names we talked about, Lam Research and X-Link this week. Again, the 200 day has also been good support. Look at this. And the one thing I want to leave you on, you look at a 5-year chart on this thing, and you can see this name is just running and gaining steam from all the way down in the single digits, back up into the 30s up here. And really, you just kind of have this digestion pattern is waiting to go out. And they're hitting on two cylinders. They're beating the hell out of Intel with their new processors for the computers. Intel's constrained. They are not. They're coming out with as good chips as Intel now, just about as good. And they're eating into NVIDIA space in the end in the graphics card. Oh, yeah. And they're winning big contracts in the data centers like with Google instead of NVIDIA. I like this name long term. I continue to like it. This earning report will be big on it, and the rest of the semis there is in that space.
All right. And Brian, what are you seeing here?
On the fundamentals, Mike touched on it. That's server space rotation. The fact that they're now actually able to compete with Xenon is absolutely massive. So if they can continue to guide forward on that, I think that there's, which I don't see why they wouldn't. Intel issued $3 billion in cash discounts to consumers or to data centers just to try to slow down the gain of market share by AMD. But in terms of cost per dollar and cost per, or in terms of processing power per dollar spent and processing power per watt, which is a really, really big thing, AMD is ahead of Intel. And I don't see anything from Intel that's telling me that they're going to catch up. So longer term, the fundamentals are fantastic. And shorter term, I think Mike touched on it there. And, you know, it's a wonderful, I think that they, over a longer period of time, are a fantastic choice.
Sure. All right, guys, we're at the top of the hour, so let's wrap it up. We're going to start out with Mike, and Mike's going to tell us a little bit more about himself for the people who are just tuning in, and also what's going on at Smart Option Trading, but most importantly, what you guys can get when you contact Mike.
So thanks for having me on. I love doing this show with you guys, Brian, Jim, both of you. So if you like what you heard from me today, this is what you get every day. So every morning you get if you come into my website, Real-Time Option Flow, you get a morning video that talks about setups. It's about 5 to 10 minutes long, depending upon the day, talking about my thoughts on the market that day, names I'm looking at long or short, and what I'm looking for in the market. Or sometimes I'll tell you, I don't like a lot here. Either way, I have no conviction. I do a nightly recap video that talks about the action, what I thought, what looks good to swing, what doesn't, and what I'm thinking, looking at for the next day. And then throughout the day, I'm live talking, sharing my screen for about 3.5-4 hours a day. You can catch me there. I do on private Twitter, all of my trades, news, option flow comes in. And in addition to that, I do a weekly mentoring webinar. This is where I'm teaching every Thursday night after the close. Come out and try me out. $25 for the first month. Cancel anytime through PayPal. $100 a month thereafter. I think I'm the greatest bargain out there. Love to have you come try me out. Hear how I apply all this stuff. And we talk about all the stuff you hear me talk about here today on a daily basis. And if you want to get a hold of me with questions, the best way to do that is just to visit me on Twitter. And if you go to Twitter, it is @OptionsMike. And this is me right here on the set of Fast Money. And you can catch me @OptionsMike. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. Thanks for being here, Mike, and do take advantage of what Mike can give to you. Last in Brian over at Alpha Shark, and he's going to give us an idea of his trade room and other stuff that he's got going and how to get a hold of you.
All right. Well, thank you again for having me on. I've always enjoyed doing these segments, and this was no exception. I am with Alpha Shark Trading. It's alphashark.com. And I'm sending my email out to everybody right now. It's Brian, B-R-Y-A-N, @alphashark.com to get a hold of me. We run a full market day live trading room where we track unusual option activity. And each moderator takes on a section of the day. There's a team of us. And each moderator has a very different strategy. And so it's almost impossible not to to find a moderator that's a good fit for how you are with your trading at the, you know, this point in your trading career. If you go to alphashark.com, then our main page, you can also learn about not only our live trading room, but also our technical analysis products that we offer. And I am on, I help develop those, write code for those. And so we have a nice variety. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. So we have a nice variety of products for you to browse. It's almost too many to really talk about all at once.
Yeah, I think it's important for everybody to get a hold of you, and then you could explain all the different ways to go and all the things that we bring to the table. We're running a little bit after the top of the hour, so I'm going to be brief. I'm Jim Kinney, optionprofessor.com. Each week give an update on all the different markets, stock market, bond market, crude oil, gold and silver, the soybeans, as well as currency. So I give you a good overview on what I'm seeing and what my opinion and observations are. So if you want to get that, simply shoot an email, optionprofessor@gmail.com. You guys were great today. I think we gave them a lot of information, and I hope people take advantage of getting a hold of you, because I think that would make a lot of sense. Right now, I'm going to throw it back to David, and thanks a lot again, you guys, for being here today.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great show. Just a quick reminder to everyone watching, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as it's available, and any of the past shows. Be sure to join us next week for Crowd Forecast News on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And then on Tuesday of next week, Dean Jenkins will be on the 100th episode of this show, Analyze Your Trade. Dean was actually the, I created this show originally with Dean, and so this was his idea, and it's been a few months since he's been able to be on, but he will be back on next week's episode of AYT. So be sure to join us for that. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week. Mike Pisani of smartoptiontrading.com, Brian Klindworth of alphashark.com, and Jim Kinney of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David.